I'm Scarlett Douglas, and you're listening to the Motivation Mixtape Podcast. Over the series, we're going to be hearing from some of the almost superhuman athletes that make up our British Olympic and Paralympic teams as they prepare to compete at one of the world's greatest sporting events, Rio 2016. We'll be finding out what it takes to become a world-class competitor.
You're in sport and you have to grow thick skin, and if you're going to let this get to you, then you're not the athlete that I thought you was.
What motivates them to succeed.
That disappointment spurred me on so much.
And the music that inspires them when they train.
It was the first song that I listened to in my car when I first got a car and learnt to drive again after my accident.
As they each build their own motivation mixtape. Today's special guest is a homegrown hero from the West Midlands, usually found on the water, but we've managed to track him down on dry land. It's European champion and member of Team GB's paracanoe team, Rob Oliver. Hi, Rob.
Hi, you all right?
So first of all, congratulations on qualifying. How did it feel when you first found out?
I went absolutely mental. I was on the water and I knew that I had to win one of two races. And if I messed up in that race, that I wouldn't be going. So that basically 6 years of training would all be for nothing, and it was sort of a lot of pressure on that one day. And as soon as I crossed the finish line first, I was ecstatic. I just went completely ballistic and nearly fell out of my boat.
Tell me, your road to Rio, you know, your story is very different to a lot of other athletes that I've spoken to. So just kind of talk me through where it all began.
I used to be a footballer, only a Sunday league, but I played week in, week out and trained a couple of times. And unfortunately, when I was playing for my Sunday league team, I come up for a corner, and as I shot at goal, the force of me shooting at the goal and someone trying to tackle me and block the shot, I snapped my leg. I broke my tibia and fibula, like clean break, complete through. My leg just collapsed underneath me and I looked down and my foot was facing the wrong way. So that ended my football career. I went to hospital and then unfortunately I had 17 operations and it ended up with my leg being amputated just due to complications.
When you were first told that you were going to have your leg amputated, how did that make you feel?
When I was first told I was having it amputated, I actually completely erased the conversation from my memory. I was told three times, apparently, that I was having this operation. And when my family come to visit me on one of the evenings when I've been told this, they said, what's going on? And I said, oh, nothing, it's just routine again. I'm just going down tomorrow for what was called debridement, just to take out some more dead skin. And the doctors come round the ward and said, no, if this is the third time we've told him now, you need to try and remember, basically, that we're talking to you about having your leg amputated. So I literally just had no recollection of these conversations. At first, I thought, well, obviously this is going to be the end of like me as a sports person. And I've always been active all my life, even if it was just against my brother, like from when he was born, basically, like I've been competitive. And I thought that that was going to be the end of it. But luckily, I met a couple of people before I had the operation who were amputees, who'd been through the same process as me, whether it was trauma or like military. And they basically showed how active they were. And that was a really big inspiration to me. So I really took that on board and thought, well, if other people are just as active, then surely I can just follow that.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it was a good thing as well that, you know, you were quite into your fitness beforehand. So I'm guessing you did want to keep going with that.
Like I was researching then as soon as I knew it was going to happen, what I can do, how I can get about, how long the process is to get back, well, to learn to walk and then basically learn to do everything else again. When I didn't have a leg, my mate got me back in a gym when I was just on crutches and things like that, just to try and build myself back up because I lost a lot of weight when I was in hospital. So he was there like day in, day out before I went back to work, just training me in the gym, which was fantastic.
Before we go any further, Rob, I've got a quick question for you. What role does music play in your life?
When I was younger, I didn't really listen to much music, and it's almost around the same time that I spent a lot of time in hospital that I really started to just listen to everything and just really change my mood. Now, I could imagine going a few hours without listening to one song or another because it's just, it's everything, especially in sport, I think, to get you hyped up or get you chilled out or just something that you just have that song that reminds you of a moment. It's just so important that I can't imagine not having music now.
Well, that's perfect because the main reason we've got you on the line today is because I want you to talk to us about the music that inspires you, what keeps you motivated, and also just to find out why these songs drive you to succeed. I've asked you to have a think about 10 tracks that would make up your motivation mixtape. So let's go for it. What is track one on your mixtape?
Track one is T.I. featuring Rihanna and it's Live Your Life. And the reason that I've chose this song is like the first song and almost like the one that's the song that reminds me most of the start of my journeys. It was the first song that I listened to in my car when I first got a car and learned to drive again after my accident. And it just happened to be the very first song that come on the radio. There wasn't anything particular about it, but it's just that the fact it's called Live Your Life. And it was the first song that come on in the car. And it was almost like an uplifting track of this is like almost like a new start, like a fresh start. And it's almost like I'm ready now, like I've learned to drive again. I've got out of hospital. I'm on the road to like recovery and getting back on with my life. And the first song was that. And it just seemed perfect, really.
What is number two?
Chasing Status, and it's a Blind Faith, Lodestar remix. Whenever I hear it, it's almost always on my playlist, like my gym playlist, and it's just because it just cheers me up, because it just reminds me of all the times I had with my mates when I was like younger and like pre-accident and post-accident, when I could still go out and enjoy like social life and going out like clubbing and things like that. And this was always just a song that seemed to be around the time. It just always puts a smile on my face and just reminds me of my mates.
So, I mean, you really could have gone one way or the other after your operation.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there are a lot of the guys that I was in hospital with, and I did rehabilitation with them in Birmingham, and a lot of the guys did sort of go the other way, and it was really unfortunate. Like, some of them, I was probably the youngest guy there, so maybe that helped being younger, but a lot of them you saw coming into the rehab and giving it up and unfortunately really going the other way and really going downhill fast. But I think because I had such a strong family and friends, I was never allowed to think like that. Like within 3 weeks of being out of the hospital, like my friends, they all took me for my 21st. They're like, come on, we're going away for your 21st and dragged me away out of the country and things like that. So I think very soon I realised that nothing's going to actually change. It just takes me a little bit longer, like I put a leg on instead of putting on a shoe. But other than that, literally nothing's changed. It's that simple really now.
Okay, so how long was the process?
I kept having like little milestones in my brain what I wanted to do. So I wanted to learn to walk for my nan's birthday, which was at the end of November. So I had my leg amputated on the 5th of October and was fully walking by the end of November. But then the actual process to build that up and really be able to sort of train hard probably took a year. Like the actual amputation to being able to physically train at maximum sort of level without it relapsing or going back into pain or sort of do too much. It probably took about a year.
Did you have any thoughts initially as to what you wanted to do?
No, all it was I just wanted to get myself like physically as fit as possible to start with without any sort of end target as to what sport I would do. I always knew I wanted to pick up another sport again. It was just which sport that would be. Basically, between me and my like one of my best mates at the time, who was the personal trainer, we just said, look, we're just day in, day out, just basically make me as good as I physically can be for that time. And then I found out that there was trials going on pre-London 2012 for various different sports. So we had that in mind as like that would be the golden opportunity to try out as many sports as possible. And there was Olympic and Paralympic sport trials being held like all around the country. And we had that date in mind, which was towards the end of the year. And luckily, when I went to that day, I tried a variety of different sports. A few asked me back. There's like wheelchair, fencing, basketball. That's when I tried kayaking for the first time. And kayaking seemed like the biggest challenge because I'd never been in a boat in my life and I'd never done anything like that. And I looked at the Olympic guys because it wasn't a Paralympic sport at the time. And all I saw that there were these like gods of men basically doing it. And they were just huge, like athletic people. And I thought, this looks like a very difficult sport. And if I'm going to try some, I might as well go for some of that I never would have before and some of that seems like really difficult just to challenge myself.
Yeah, and it's totally paying off. What would you say is your third track?
My third track is like a tribute to my wife, basically, and it's Tupac and Changes. She's a massive Tupac fan. And the amount of times when we first got together and she'd be listening to like old school hip-hop and things like that and a lot of American hip-hop, and I really wasn't into it. And now I can't imagine not listening to it like at least once or twice a week. And it's really just a nod to her and like everything that she's done and how amazing she's been like since meeting her in my life. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Okay, what is number four?
Four is Netsky and Digital Farm Animals and Rio. And Rio is just perfect. It's like the name, obviously, where we're going. And when we went out to a holding camp in Belo Horizonte before we went to Rio earlier in the year, it was just released at that time. So it was like the song that was always on in the gym. Whenever I hear it, it just reminds me of being out in Belo Horizonte training for Rio in like this acclimatization camp. And just when I get back here and I was in the middle of winter, and then I just think of that song, it just reminds me of being back out there in like 35 degrees instead of back in Birmingham in 12, freezing cold, or in Nottingham in about 30 mile an hour gusts. I just think of that and think, okay, one day the goal is to get back to Rio and to get there and to chase that dream of, and remembering how nice it was. Wherever she goes, I go, we roll, we go, flying over cities down to Rio, it's real, love that I feel, oh nothing lasts forever, but I'm down for the minute, so just chill. Wherever she goes, I go, we roll, we go, flying over cities down to Rio, it's real, love that I feel, oh nothing lasts forever, but I'm down for the minute, so just chill. What's next? Number five. Next song is Blonde featuring Alex Nuout and It's All Cried Out. This was the last song I heard before I won the European Champs. I'm one of the only people who listens to music when we warm up. And I think that's really strange because I feel like it really gets me in the mood and really either relaxes me or gets me hyped for the race, depending on the mood that I'm in. And I'm the only person who's got headphones in before we race, and I find it really strange. And it had been a terrible week, like it was in the Czech Republic, and it had been overcast and cold. And then on this day that we come to do the finals, the sun come out, and this song was the last song I listened to. And it was just like, it just really calmed me. It was almost like just calmed me for the race. And because I wasn't expecting to do anything in that race, so I was really like just chill for it and think, oh, whatever happens, happens. And then I went out and won it. And it's just like, now every time I hear it, I'm just like, yes, this just reminds me and takes me back to like that winning feeling and just takes me back, really.
What would be number six?
That's the old thing back. And it's, I can't even say his name. It's Matoma and the Notorious B.I.G. Apart from Ja Rule's parts in it, it's like a very chill sort of song. And listening to the lyrics, obviously they're pretty explicit sort of thing, but it's almost like calm me down. It's quite funny sort of song, like listening to it. And as I was warming up for the World Championships, and again, it was really sunny. And it was almost like, I almost felt like I was on holiday, even though everybody else was like really stressing and it's really like worrying time just before race and you're really up. And I was just listening to it and I was like, just thought I realised, I was just like nodding my head along to it. And I was like, started paddling to the rhythm of like the song. And I was just like, I come over to my coach. He's like, what are you listening to? Like, what are you doing? I said, I don't really know. Like, I didn't even know I put it in a playlist sort of thing. But it just really got me in that mood of like, you know what? And I just, for some reason, thought, I'm going to do this. I'm actually going to perform really well. It really just got me ready for it.
And what about track number seven?
Seven, I put down two, which was Dusky, Ingrid Is a Hybrid, and High Contrast Remind Me. They're just the two songs that this year must have been most played in my car. And I'm always trying to find like dance songs and EDM music from like around the world, trawling the internet for different things. And I've been listening to them for a long time, and now they've gone quite mainstream. these two songs have just basically been this year for me. And that's all I can think of, is these songs are part of me training.
What would you say your biggest achievement to date is?
Winning the Euros was like massive, because I wasn't expecting to do it, because I wasn't trying to peak for that event last year. But then finishing second in the world, where I was trying to peak, and the first time I'd ever won like a world medal in like the 6 years of doing the sport. And it was like a massive achievement to just get up there and be alongside all the guys who I've always seen winning it. And I was in amongst it. It was just amazing. And like when I got to the end, and I didn't know, because that race last year at the world, so there was 0.3 seconds between first and fifth, so you don't have a clue where you come when you actually finish the race. So I was looking across at my coach, and he was looking at me and looking at the scoreboard, and then all of a sudden, before I could even see the scoreboard, my coach just ran down the jetty and was like jumping on me and pulling me out of the water. So I knew I'd done all right. It was just like, he's been with me from the start, so he's been there doing it the same 6 years as me. We've done the journey together, so it's really nice, like, to see, almost like paying him for getting up and doing the same hours as me, even though he's on the side, but he's still there in the pouring rain.
So what do you think it would mean to you and to him winning at Rio?
There are probably six of us that can win it. If I was the guy on top on the day, I think I'd have to be humble enough to realise that any of the six of us could have won it. But at the same time, I've just happened to have the perfect race, and it would be like closure to the 6 years of like, that's 6 years in the bank, and it's all been for this one moment, for this one race, training for 6 years for 40 seconds. If it all come together, I don't even know how I'd react. I don't think I'd sleep for about a week.
Do you think you would change anything on your journey so far? Or does this feel like the right path for you?
Everything feels like absolutely perfect, to be honest. I mean, the way I've picked up a lot of injuries over the 6 years, but every time I've picked up an injury, I've sort of used that time to work on like my weaknesses and points that I wouldn't. I mean, I dislocated my shoulder the day after the World Championships last year, and I thought that that was going to be the end. I thought that was going to be the end of my like journey to Rio. But luckily, it sort of enabled me to work on everything else, because I couldn't train on water and I couldn't train, obviously, my upper body for 3 months. And I just worked on everything else, and worked on like my cardio, and worked on balance, and worked on lots of other little things. And since then, I haven't picked up an injury. So I think I've made myself a lot more robust from that. So, and it really fired me up, because knowing I got so close, like last year at the Worlds, I come second in the world. And then the day after, basically, I dislocated my shoulder. And it was just like from a massive high to a massive low. I remember that now when I'm having a hard training session, when I think, oh, maybe I just want to go back to bed, and thinking, no, I've worked hard to be able to even be on the water. I might as well make the most of every training session I've got.
Definitely. Who would you say is your biggest rival on the water?
Biggest rival is definitely the German, Tom Keary. He's been basically world champion or second in the world for the last 3-4 years. So he's the main guy. He won the equivalent of like BBC Young Personality of the Year. He's massive in Germany. He's like a huge sort of like sporting icon, where kayaking and canoe is a lot bigger sport than here in Britain. But he's the one that everybody's got to beat.
Well, let's hope you beat him. I'm sure you will. What words of encouragement would you give to anyone else that finds themselves in a life-altering position like you did?
I mean, it's always different for different people. And I was lucky that I had a massive support network, and it'd probably be that if you do have a support network, make sure you do use it to the absolute most. And if you don't, then always try and look for that. I mean, I know it's really cheesy, but like the glass half full sort of thing. I mean, you've just got to keep looking for it. I mean, a lot of the time it doesn't seem like that. And of course, when it first happened, there were times when it did seem very dark, and it would seem like there was a cloud over me and things like that. And it's just trying to like look for the silver lining of it, or for anything you possibly can, really. If you think, I can't do this anymore, it's not all over. Just try and think of something else. Any dreams you had when you were younger or things like that, I think maybe I could try that now and pursue a different path. And that's what I did, and it's worked out perfectly, luckily for me.
And now, to switch up a little, the final three tracks that we've asked you to pick for your mixtape come under the following categories. So your ultimate hype track, Rio Anthem, and your gold record. So first up, we want to know what your ultimate hype track is. What song never fails to get you pumped, whether it's in the gym or ahead of a big competition or for whatever, really?
It's Schoolboy Q and Hell of a Night. Basically, we have testing 3 times a year, like gym testing. And I always listen to it before I go for a PB. You know, I just have it on full blast in my headphones and I'm there and I'm just psyching myself up. And then I like run over to like whatever it is, like the bench press or anything, and then just smash out like whatever it is. I can't listen to it before I race because I get too hyper and it actually gets me too over the top. So this is my ultimate hype track and literally too hyper.
Okay, next we want to know what your Rio anthem is. That's the song that you feel best represents your incredible journey on the road to Rio so far.
I only heard it a few weeks ago and it was in the middle of a gym session. It came on, I was listening to like a radio playlist and it's Chasing Status featuring George the Poet and Spoken Word. I was there and I was really tired. It was the last thing I was doing in the session and I listened to it and the words that he said, basically he says, being strong feels exactly the same as being weak. The difference is you don't quit, not until you reach your peak. This sums up the whole journey to like Rio and everything I've been doing, which it does feel exactly the same. Like I can't quit, like no matter how many injuries, no matter what setbacks I've had. Rio and that gold medal has always been there to like set me back on track.
Yo, I hope this works. Being strong feels exactly the same as being weak. The difference is you don't quit, not until you reach the peak. I believe in the meaning of spoken word. It's more than a speech to speak. It's what I feel when I'm sitting in your presence. The answers are written in your essence. It's all a test to see if you're made for it. But best believe it's
okay. For the final track to complete your mixtape, and this is the big one, we asked you to pick your gold record. So this is the song that you would want playing in your victory montage or the first track you'd put on to celebrate taking home an Olympic medal. So, Rob, tell me, what is your gold record?
This is Tiny Temper and Pass Out. And basically, it's a song that me and my mates, at any opportunity, will try and sing when we used to go out at karaoke. And just it's just a song that's just so over the top and hyper. And back at the time, I hadn't really heard a song like it that was just got you carried away. And he's just so full of energy. And that's just the song that would just, if you went off with like, and it was say playing a montage of me on a TV program and all my mates were watching at home, I could see them jumping about to it and getting involved. I'd just love it. And that's just got to be my goal song. That's just my all time favorite, get involved, get crazy sort of song.
Yeah. We bring the stars out, we bring the women and the cards out. Let's have a toast, a celebration, get a glass out. And we can do this until we pass out.
Let it fade, let it go away.
Yeah.
We won't come down until we hit the ground. Yeah. Pass out.
Did you find it quite hard to pick the tracks or was it easy?
I thought I might find it difficult, but I ended up with quite a few extra and then ended up cutting them down to what I thought were actually the most important. And these sort of sum it up perfectly. This is like the 10, really. I've actually put them back into a new playlist again now.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Rob. It's been brilliant talking to you. I wish you all the best over in Rio. Make sure you give that Tom Keary some serious evils as you walk past him.
Well, I will.
And yeah, all the best with it all.
Cheers, thank you.
The Motivation Mixtape Podcast is an original production by Audioboom.